What's up, everybody? It's LG Doucette here. Today is Monday, April 19th, 2021. Welcome to The First Mint, a podcast where I cover marketplace trends, big sales, and everything going on in NBA Top Shot. We got an awesome episode for you guys today. I'm going to go through my predictions for the long and short term of NBA Top Shot, of what you should be looking for. And then we have an awesome interview with DJ Ski, who is not only big into Top Shot and NFTs, but he's also big into traditional trading cards, something that we have probably never, ever, ever talked about on the First Mint, but we're going to today because that world has a big NFT, I guess, crossover drop this week, and we're going to talk about whether traditional and digital trading cards can coexist. I want to remind everybody here that none of the content on the show constitutes trading advice in any way, and that this show is not affiliated with NBA Top Shot, the NBA, or Dapper Labs. I'm just a guy at his house who loves basketball and blockchain. This is the First Mint. We're going to kick it off today with a little bit of self-promo. If you're listening on iTunes, make sure you hit that subscribe button. Make sure you give a rating, one of those star ratings. Leave us a little comment if you like what you listen to every week. If you're on Spotify, I guess you can hit the follow option. I think that's what it's called. If you're on some other kind of medium, leave a review. I don't know. There's tons of other places to listen to this podcast. So if you like it, please let us know. Also, feel free to always send me a DM at LGDoucette on Twitter or at The First Mint on Twitter. Let us know what you want to hear about on the podcast. And also, let us know your takes. We want to hear from you guys. And last but not least, for the self-promo stuff, we have a newsletter now at The First Mint, as you may or may not have heard or read. You can find it. We post it on Twitter pretty often, but it's also going to be in the description of this episode. That newsletter comes your way Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. It contains all the best from Twitter and around the community at Top Shot and The First Mint. As promised, we're going to talk about my predictions for the short and long term of Top Shot, and I actually think that we might be in for an exciting week. We're kind of in a weird spot right now. We're still 4 weeks out from the NBA playoffs. This is usually the long slog of the season, so it's natural for Top Shot to be a little bit quiet. Short term, here's what I think we can expect. Obviously, this week, the third or fourth, I think, Holo Challenge ends, and we have a bunch of new holos that came out last week that are going to take up another challenge. Also, Metallic Gold, another challenge ends, another one begins. That's probably going to kick off the week. I'd look for those this morning. Also, last week, we finally saw somewhat of a regular pack drop schedule, a Monday and a Thursday drop. Long time ago, Dapper said that was the kind of drops that they were going to be doing, so we might actually get back to that. I'm actually recording this, it's a little secret, I'm recording this Sunday night, expecting there not to be too much news on the Monday morning, but if there has been between now and then, so be it. I would love to see a few more drops come this week. I know some people don't want to see more moments, but I do. I want to see some new and exciting stuff. Other stuff to look out for this week, the master challenge for the LaMelo Ball moment might finally be revealed. We already know that it's out there. We already know it's LaMelo, so it has been revealed. But now we're at the end of the fourth and final challenge of that master challenge. But if you're just now tuning into this LaMelo challenge, know that there are four more moments that we are going to have to collect to do that LaMelo one. We don't know how we're going to acquire those moments, so that's what I mean when I say it will be revealed to us. That is something that might be happening this week as the fourth and final challenge ends on Thursday. Other stuff to look out for? Could more moments go limited edition? We saw finally the traded players of the 35,000 CC set from Series 2. We saw those traded players get LE'd as in limited edition, as in there will be no more of those moments. That happened just on Friday the other day. All those other moments in that set, though, all the other ones that are 35,000, man, some of those are so old. They're from like late January, early February, some of them. We need a little refresh. We need some new stuff. I think it's time to close those down and get us some new stock. Maybe that'll happen this week. Last time it happened, it caused a frenzy. I don't expect that to be as insane this time, but it does usually get a little wild when that happens. My biggest question in the short term right now is, what other types of sets are we going to see in Series 2 that are not playoff sets? And I mean that as in, if you look through Series 1, there's all this fun stuff like Denied with the Strip, Throwdowns, all these really cool sets of really great kind of themed moments. So far this series, though, we have two sets from the start of the series, from the start of the season, Deck the Hoops and season tip-off. We have three different All-Star sets, which is definitely overkill. We have our usual core sets like bass, metallic, hollow. Those are all there. And then we have the specialty sets, I guess we'll call them, like Cool Cats, which has honestly gone on forever, and the Gift, which is just like a quick one-off. What happened to all the other stuff that maybe we were going to get this season? Are we going to see that stuff soon? Are we going to get a basketball-specific set, something fun? What awaits us in the last couple weeks of the season here as we march towards the playoffs? I don't know, but I think it's time that we saw just at least some other theme. We need some other interesting set to talk about that isn't just more hollow stuff. So maybe we will get some hints of that very soon. Next, let's talk about long-term predictions. And I'll keep this part short because I feel like I always ramble on about this. I'm actually trying to re-recording this for the third time now to try to keep it nice, short, and concise. Basically, we know that Dapper's fixing all these issues, not just withdrawals and marketplace and all that kind of stuff, but also the actual values in the game. Top Shot is not sustainable long-term with a big juicy EV on every single pack. It just can't live like that. And when it does that, when the expected value of every pack is way higher than the cost, we're bringing in people that only want to make money. It's okay to be in Top Shot and want to make money. We're all there right now, but it's not realistic to only bring in people or to only have packs that promise a huge EV like that. There needs to be balance. The cost of the packs need to be almost equal to the value of what's inside. We're getting back there. Top Shot is going to keep releasing more moments, and things are going to keep sucking like that for a while. If you're expecting your account value to go up, it's not going to. We need to be realistic about that that's not going to happen. But long term, I actually think we are in for a really good time. And I mean that. And I don't mean you're going to get rich. I mean you're going to have fun. We are coming up to the NBA playoffs. Pretty much the most exciting part of the NBA season, especially like through the first and second round when all these scrappy teams are trying to pull upsets and things are awesome. I'm telling you, last year during Top Shot, during the playoffs, the first, second round, it was awesome and there was only 300 or 400 of us going through it. Now there are maybe 300 or 400,000 of us who are going to experience that together. And that's also the best time of the NBA season overall is to be watching those playoffs. I think I just said that. And the finals as well. So I think long-term, as in the next like 8 weeks, I don't think there's going to be these huge opportunities to get rich and make these big flips, but I do think we are going to have fun, and I do think Top Shot is going to give us a little sneak peek of some of the other things that they're working on. At least I hope so, because we kind of need it right now, and honestly, we kind of deserve it. We deserve to know what hardcourt looks like, and we deserve to know what these core sets are, and we deserve some new cool stuff that isn't just Cool Cats. So let's hope we get to that soon. And let's hope we start to see some new users come in soon who want to come in and collect, not just make money. All right, folks, now for the main event. Now you're going to hear my interview with DJ Ski. Now I'm just going to preface this. I'm not a big trading cards guy. And I know that this is a show. The first minute, it's about Top Shot and it's about NFTs. And we learned last week that Topps, which makes Major League Baseball trading cards, physical ones, is dropping an NFT this week. Do I think that's great? No, I don't. Because mainly, I don't really follow baseball and I don't really collect traditional trading cards. There are some cons to it, such as, you know, it's on wax, which is a little bit confusing for a lot of people to use. And obviously, a lot of the NFT purists see this as a really kind of like knee-jerk move in terms of Topps and MLB just trying to get into the game. And obviously, a lot of maybe card people see this as watering down the product. And then naturally, from an NFT standpoint, there is no utility. There's some pros to the drop, of course. You know, it's another big brand throwing their hat into the NFT ring, which is good. We need more people to get interested. We need more intellectual property stores to get into the game. And obviously, a lot of people are very excited about it, which is great. I want to see people get excited about NFT drops. I don't really care where it's coming from. And again, I don't know much about that area. I don't know much about trading cards. The First Mint's a show about passion. It's a show where I talk about what I really love, which has been Top Shot so far. And I wanted to bring somebody on who feels just as passionately about traditional trading cards and this NFT drop and Top Shot as I do, I guess, about Top Shot. And that person is DJ Ski. So have a listen to our chat. Ladies and gentlemen of the First Mint, we are on with DJ Ski, who is a sports collectible aficionado and as well a person who's very well known in the sports industry as a personality. Awesome guy. We were on a stream together the other day for Shots for Shots, and today we are going to chat about Top Shot as well as non-Top Shot NFTs. Ski, what's going on, man? Welcome to the First Mint.
Man, thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
We always start with the juiciest part. You got to tell us, when did you discover Top Shot and what was your first impression?
I discovered it probably about a year, you know, or whatever it seems like forever ago, you know, probably like summer, fall of last year. Started really paying attention to it. Yeah, like late fall.
And what did you think? Like, did you think it was real? Like, did you think this thing could take off? Or are you like, this, I don't get this. This is a YouTube clip I can just watch for free.
No, I got it right away just because I'm deep in not only the collectible space, but deep in the digital space with NFTs, with platforms, with blockchain technology, and I've always been forward thinking in terms of that. So I understood it right away. I did not expect it to take off as quickly as it did, which was great to see. I didn't know how quickly others would get to it, but I love the concept of taking, in essence, a sports card, but turning it into an actual moment and leveraging digital technology to take something that was purely, you know, kind of analog in the old sense and leveraging technology to make a card come to life. And I thought that and the way that they built it from, you know, the serial numbers and the way that it was pieced together was really, really smart and forward thinking and futuristic. But I did not anticipate, like many others, for it to have taken off as quickly and had that massive momentum that it did.
Yeah, I don't think even Top Shot expected that. What was, I'm a Raptors fan. My first purchase when I looked at it, and I was like, cool, I got $10 to spend on Kyle Lowry. You know, like that was the first way I kind of approached it. What was that like for you? You know, where did you start?
For me, it was, you know, I was buying packs first, so I was hoping to rip and get some goodies and stuff. But I always would tend to get like poor luck in packs. My prized possession and the one that I really wanted to go deep on, that I was like, all right, I'm going to spend some money, and I know this is one that I have to have. I'm a Timberwolves fan, so it was that Anthony Edwards, the Rising Stars Challenge dunk that was unfortunately over, that your team is in, I believe, right? But it was just, it's the lone highlight of probably my Timberwolves season. And I was like, if anything deserves a moment, this is it. And I wanted to, you know, go through the whole challenge to try to get one of the low serial numbers. And I ended up getting, I think, number 66. So
Let's talk about that. I want to dig into this. You're a Timberwolves fan. Hard times, yeah. Right now. Tough times. Where does that trace back to?
Always. I mean, you know, I grew up in Minnesota, so Minnesota sports everything. And, you know, we had a few good years with Garnett in there and, you know, some exciting blips here and there. But, you know, unfortunately, it's just never come together for us. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this year, you know, you're kind of used to it by now, so it doesn't hurt that much.
I'm sorry to hear that, man. As a Raptors fan, I can tell you that, yes, it is bleak for years. And then, well, I mean, for us, suddenly we were good. It was just like we tried to trade Lowry to the Knicks and they didn't want him. And then suddenly we won like 15 to 17 games and we made the playoffs. So, hey, you never know. It can just happen. You just trade for the right guy at the right time and it just can happen overnight. So hopefully, you know,
we got so much raw talent in Minnesota too. That's why, you know, every, I mean, I say this every year, but like on paper, you look at what we have and you're like, wait, how is this? Like the team is stacked and there's a lot of exciting players and personalities. It just hasn't clicked, you know?
Yeah, that's okay. I'm sure it's going to come back around, man. It's all good. Let's talk about traditional cards, and we're going to talk about the Topps drop, which is coming up this week. We're going to circle back to that, but just off the top, traditional cards. It's something I actually got turned on to about a year ago. I wasn't too sure. I heard about like the grading process, kind of turned me off, and then eventually through the summer I discovered Top Shot and I've been kind of all in on that. Never kind of circled back around to learning more about the traditional card market. Tell me, as an absolute fresh newbie, what should I know about that?
I mean, it's interesting because the traditional card market has been around. People think that, oh, cards are crazy prices and they see these sales, but, you know, cards have been around since the late 1800s. So this is something that has a proven model over a century, right? And you look at some of the most high-valued sports collectible transaction of all time, you instantly think the T206 Honus Wagner card. You instantly think a lot of these sports cards. Recently, of course, there's been basketball cards like Luka and Giannis that have sold for millions of dollars. LeBron selling for millions of dollars. A Jordan PSA 10, you know, when they were selling for $700,000, even though they've dipped down to around $500,000 now. So there's this long historical legacy and, I guess, market that proves them out. What's been interesting is that, you know, many people got into it in the 70s, 80s, 90s. The 80s and 90s were the prime era and what was called the junk wax era, where transparently a lot of the companies overproduced and overmanufactured. And the scarcity that everybody thought that existed wasn't real once people started comparing notes and things like the internet came along and you could see how many Ken Griffey Jr. Upper Deck rookies were really in existence. What really changed it and helped legitify and save the market and bring it back to life was these grading companies, because you were able to serialize these cards. You were able to, you know, of course, like judge the condition based on not only how they were pulled from the pack, but the centering from the factory, things that you can't control. Making sure that, you know, just because you pull it from a pack doesn't mean it's going to get a 10. In fact, it's probably not, right? Like it's very difficult to do that. And in doing that, they also showed how many are out there. You can look up what's called population reports. So you can see exactly, oh, there's only 70 of these cards graded PSA 10s in the world. For a Jordan 1986 Fleer rookie, it's somewhere around, you know, 320 or something. So you're looking at, there's only 320 perfect Michael Jordan Fleer 1986 rookie cards out there. That's what drives the scarcity. There's a ton of those cards. That card was not super low print. It's just of course, the most iconic, you know, I'd say athlete of all time. And in that perfect condition is why the value, and why the value can be so drastic. Why, you know, at the peak, it was $700,000 for a PSA 10, where a PSA 9 was under $100,000. A PSA 8 was, you know, $30,000. A PSA 7 was $15,000. So quite a difference, right? Like a difference between a grade can be significant. And you know, it's kind of the foundation that Top Shot and a lot of these, I think, art projects are, you know, in essence, based off of a lot of that history that baseball cards and trading cards, in essence, have established over the years as a market.
Okay, that I feel like you just gave me the whole history and lowdown in like 2 minutes, which is incredible. I love nice, concise route, like explainers like that. Can you walk me through the process right now? If I want to get into traditional cards, obviously I'm like hardcore NFT, right? So, but let's say I was like, okay, you know, let's try the traditional card thing. What's the process? How do I actually get a pack?
So there's a couple different ways. It's very similar. Actually, a lot of the market is in parallel to what you see with Top Shot. It's very tough to get at retail. Things are selling out if you're looking at packs, right? And you have to, in essence, I mean, there's kids and not even kids. There's people waiting in line at stores like Target and Walmart all day. The inventory is just tough to come by. It's still very finite. It's supply and demand. You can, of course, buy aftermarket through third-party platforms, StockX, eBay, et cetera. You can, you know, jump into things called breaks, which are, you know, I'm involved with Cards and Coffee as a partner there, and we have, you know, one of the bigger breaking companies in the marketplace where we're streaming pretty much 24/7, and you can jump in. And the great thing about breaks is you can buy a team. So if we're opening basketball packs, you could buy just the Toronto Raptors. And then that way, out of that whole box, you're getting the box for a fraction of the cost. You're able to collect the cards that you want and go for the cards that you want. And that's probably the most exciting and active way, especially doing it on a live stream. The breaking market is just exploded and been nonstop. There's also, and there's different ways to do that. Sometimes it's just by pack. Sometimes you're just buying a slot and you get that card. So there's different levels to participate, but it's easier and actually cheaper than trying to buy the boxes or case and deal with it themselves. And then lastly, there's buying the, you know, the cards already graded, which is what I tend to generally focus on from, if you're looking at it from an investment perspective, because you are paying premiums, but you know exactly what you're getting. It's already graded. So you don't have to go through that process, which can take time. You never know what grade you're going to get, and you're paying for the true market value of something versus, you know, opening a pack, buying into a break is much more akin to gambling, or similar to buying a break or buying a pack in Top Shot.
What's kind of like, you know, and I've been wondering this for Top Shot for a while, especially now that we're kind of like, you know, a bit more of a bear market. I've been wondering this for Top Shot, so I'll ask you this for you know, traditional card market, which I just have to say, I really love your passion, man. You're so stoked about this. I can even just tell. And I love, you know, that's what legitimizes things for me a lot is when people are naturally just incredibly stoked and not just like pumping something. Like, you clearly really love this. what is that glue? Like, what, where does that love come from? Like, what clicks for people with the traditional card market when they get into it?
I think for a lot of people, it's the hit. First up, it's history, right? Like, a lot of us started off, like I started off as a kid. It was my first business. It was my first entrepreneurial and I guess, you know, undertaking before I was into DJing and starting my own businesses and did that. I was 8 years old, you know, selling cards, running around a card shop. So it's that definite nostalgia in that history that's baked in. And it's also just a love and passion for sports and for, you know, also side noted, like business, right? Like making investments. Which players do you want to get into? I don't traditionally, you know, gamble on sports just because I'm a little more conservative. I want to do things that I can control. And this, I think you could take a longer term approach. You can buy a card of any player that you want. And, you know, well, you are in essence, like if you got a rookie Anthony Edwards, you can gamble on him, but it's also not going to dip as significantly unless somebody has like a career ending injury overnight. You kind of see what it is. So you can get in and out of easier versus like gambling on a game. It's one and done that night. If you could obviously choose, you know, to gamble in the Lakers Timberwolves game, and the Lakers are going to be highly favored to win and would win 9 out of 10 times this season. If LeBron and everybody's healthy, of course, but, you never know. That could be an off night, right? And the Timberwolves could win. So it's kind of finite and definitive versus, you know, a LeBron card is not going to go down because they lost a game.
Right. Right. Okay. So it's a pretty similar market dynamics, relatively similar to Top Shot, right?
Totally. Totally.
What we've got this Topps NFT drop coming this week. And I can tell, you know, you're loving the baseball aspect of traditional cards. And I feel like a lot of it is built around that, even though there are, you know, some pretty high profile basketball sales now as well. But, you know, thinking this Topps one, obviously it's fully baseball. This is not Major League Baseball's first foray into crypto. They had MLB Crypto Champions, which is like a very strange bobblehead game that is pretty dead in the water right now. But they're coming back around to it. They got this Topps thing this week. When you heard the news, initial thoughts there?
I mean, I think it's great, right? Like, it's a lot of people are going to be experimenting and testing things in the market. Topps has the exclusive license for Major League Baseball on the card side, so it only makes sense for them to dive in on the NFT side and, in essence, you know, bring their packs and cards to life in an entirely new dimension and dynamic. And I think, you know, all of the things that we're seeing from Top Shot, from, you know, Topps MLB, you know, doing their stuff with Wax on the blockchain, we're going to see how things shake out. I think this is like the wild, wild west and, you know, like the new frontier. And it's going to be really interesting to see how things kind of thing, you know, evolve. And I think everybody's watching each other to see what's next and to see what works and conversely, what doesn't.
Do you think this is an opinion I've had and a few others have shared as well, including Roham, CEO of Dapper, or this is kind of paraphrasing the general opinion, is some people kind of feel that it's a bit too much of a knee-jerk reaction in terms of they're just trying to get their hat in the game without kind of fully thinking through the ecosystem of what their NFTs could be. I don't mean to corner you with that question. tell me your thoughts there, man. Like, is this, you know, they're not going to be rolling out something quite as in depth as Top Shot, but it's still, you know, clearly as a cards fan, you're excited, right? So yeah, kind of, I mean, what's like, the look, balance there?
Top Shot took years to evolve. And in essence, you could argue, I mean, it started as CryptoKitties. That was the foundation for that. And, you know, building what they built on the entire, you know, blockchain with what they did with Flow is incredible and very impressive. I think, you know, there's two arguments to that. Like, I think that Topps, this is very going to be a very 1.0 version, I think, of the product and a great learning curve. And I think, and a great place to test. I personally am buying, you know, the packs on Tuesday when they drop. I'm going to go for a couple of the premium ones just because I love going for the higher end stuff. And I think you're going to shake it out. I think that, you know, it's a smart move because you want to, you know, the last thing you want to be is, you can never wait until a product is perfect, right? Like, that's also a challenge. And it's what I deal with as an artist. Even like, I've got a card coming out Thursday and, you know, I've been slaving and working and I could sit here and edit it forever. It's never going to be perfect. There's a certain point where you just have to let it go and it's good enough. And especially with the market where it is today, things are evolving and happening so fast. You'd rather put out products, even if it's not successful, and learn from them to see where things go from there. So I think it's something that especially is necessary for baseball to get involved in, just as the sport is not have the same level of popularity that basketball does, or even football, even though it historically does. And it's the original card. While basketball cards are selling for crazy amounts, the baseball card market is the one that's been around the longest. The basketball card market, we're only looking, you know, at about 50, 60 years, 70 years. Yeah, about 50, 60, 70 years. Baseball cards, we're looking at, you know, 140 years. So it's twice as old as that basketball card market. So I think they need to get into the NFT space. And I think this is a great entry point. And I'm sure that there's many more things coming that they're working on, but it is a fair and valid point. And I think you're seeing that with a lot of NFTs, right? Is just like, hey, what is the use instead of just being an analogous one-to-one product? And like one of my beliefs, and I just dropped a companion card for my, that goes with my Babe Ruth card in conjunction with collectible that's available on eBay right now, that's on auction, where I did this companion card we printed ourselves that's inspired off the Jay-Z Blueprint 3 cover, because my Babe Ruth Tops card was inspired by the Blueprint in Babe Ruth. So we created this one-of-one card we originally created a limited run of $3.99. It sold out on my site, djski.com, in just a couple minutes. So we decided to do something special and to jump into it. First up, the card is something that really plays well in the NFT space. Like if you look at it, the dimensions of the items and the products in the background, you see like a glove, a bat, a record player, a bunch of things that are in essence baseball themed, but in the same style of the Jay-Z all white room BP3 cover. So this card is called BR3. And it was something that I'd had the NFT artwork done for a while, but I wanted to find the way to put it out. I didn't want to just put out a picture and mint it, you know, and sell it and be like, oh, it's an NFT, like you're seeing a lot of other things. That's fine. But I was like, all right, what can we really utilize blockchain technology for in a clever way? And I think that some of the best things that blockchain does is, you know, what I personally love is, one, verifying authenticity, and two, like showing the provenance of that item and kind of the history and what happens with that. So we decided to create a one-of-one card, the physical card that also comes with an NFT. We put a QR code on the back, and if you scan that QR code, it links directly to the NFT that we minted. And the NFT is the same version of that card. It's just a digital recreation that brings it to life in 3D. And I could see a future where that happens. I'm a big believer that long-term, like as the metaverse evolves in the real world, you know, I think that comes together a lot more with the real world. And the easiest example to say, and not to get on a ramble, is that, you know, I would not be shocked, and I believe in a future where you buy a pair of Air Jordan shoes and you get not only that physical item, but you get an NFT that represents that one, verifies the authenticity. So it instantly gets rid of all of the frauds and fakes, or at least, you know, you can kind of show it off, but it also comes with a pair of that, a mirror of that shoe that you can wear in across the metaverse, whether that's, you know, in Fortnite and Roblox and, you know, in whatever.
Decentraland is one of the big ones. In
Decentraland is incredible, right? Yeah, exactly. So like it's something that you can move. And I think like you're going to see the metaverse evolve too. And I'm focusing a significant amount of time on that, but that's what I believe the future is. And that's why I was so excited about doing a card where we actually dropped a physical item that's tied to a digital one. And I'm interested to see what happens. Like we have no idea where it was. We listed it for a penny. It's already up to a couple of $1,000 with, you know, over 8.5 days left now at the time we're doing this interview. And, you know, do those products stay together? Could somebody choose to sell one separately, right? Like we're going to see kind of how it evolves. Like it's all about testing the market, but utilizing like blockchain to do something unique. That's what I'm really, really excited and passionate about.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Man, it's great to hear you say that, honestly, because that's, you know, that's what I feel has been missing with some of the big time drops we've been seeing lately, is that everybody's trying to get in on this NFT thing, right? Everyone's just be like, I got to make an NFT, but you are coming at it with so much more purpose, and you're actually making something that you want to see in the world. Right? Like you're saying, it's like when you buy something physically, you get something digitally as well. And that to me is where it's ideas like that and people like you pushing it forward that I think is why I'm bullish on NFTs, not NFTs in the next month, but NFTs in the next 5 years, because ideas like that will perpetuate other ideas like that and will grow the medium. Right.
I appreciate that. And that's the exact thing, right? Like I think like, look, 90-something% of everything coming out right now is probably not going to be worth much in history. It reminds me a lot of what happened with, cryptocurrencies a couple of years ago. Everybody had a cryptocurrency. There was this and that, and people didn't even know what they were making them just to capitalize and do the cash grab, which is fine. But then most of them fizzled out. And I think you're going to see the same thing with NFTs, where the underlying technologies and the ones that truly prove valuable are here to stay. And the technology is incredible, but it's, you know, people tried to exploit and capitalize off of that. And I don't know if a lot of those things stay, and a lot of it's just experimenting. And I don't think that, you know, I think the world, I don't think we've even come close to really uncovering the potential of what that is. Like, I'm thinking in how cards evolve, how we could, you know, I'm trying to figure out a way. I'm like, can I give everybody that bids on this card an actual open version of an NFT? So say if there's 100 bidders, do they all get one that's like numbered out of 100, that's like a different variation? It's not the one-on-one, but like, can we do this? Can the card evolve over time? Like, what can we unlock with all of those things? And that's what's really intriguing.
That's right. That's right. That's exactly it. It's you can tokenize pretty much engagement now with this kind of stuff, right? So you want to reward people, even with those who tried to bid on it, right? So your head's in the right spot. I'm going to bring this back to the Topps drop. Can traditional cards, trading cards, and NFTs successfully coexist?
I think so. And that's why I did this card, right? Like, it's the true first iteration, whereas, you know, Topps is still selling them separately, right? Most Topshot is still selling them separately. They don't come with a physical item. That's what I think that is interesting. And I think that as we look at just like, I'm looking in the future long term, and it's no secret that Apple is basically, in essence, betting their next big product to be in AR, our glasses. In the world, you know, the metaverse is coming, and it's coming quickly. And these are things that aren't going to happen overnight. We're talking years down the road. But I think that the digital and the analog worlds, in essence, come together in some weird, weird way. And I think the idea of having products that are different from them instead of things that coexist is not going to, especially for collectibles and things, I think it's going to go a different way. That's kind of how I'm making my bet. And why I kind of want to do the first type of drop for this, just one is like to be as an experiment to see how people would react and what would happen with that, and give me learnings. I could be totally wrong. Maybe that's not it at all, right? But I was like, let's just get it out there. Let's test and break things and experiment. And then just to also be first, like, it's exciting. And, you know, if that does, and my theory does hold true, it'll be awesome saying that, hey, I was the first to do something along those lines.
What else in the NFT space do you think, or what else besides sports and collectibles do you think has potential in the NFT space that we haven't really seen too much of yet?
I mean, I'm really excited about the potential overall for creators, and not just, I think you've seen the first wave, which is traditional, you know, in essence, like artists, people drawing paintings or creating 3D graphics or motions. I think you've seen that. You're starting to see sports unlocked, like Top Shot and what Topps are doing are you know, covering a lot of that sports world. But I don't think you've seen, you know, while there has been some music drops, I don't think you've seen anything that is truly game changing. While they're awesome for like experimenting and getting on a new platform, they've always been kind of like hacked together and worked around, where there's still so many challenges from letting the mass public in. The most people aren't going to want to sign up for a, you know, MetaMask wallet and buy things in Ethereum. It's still such a foreign concept to them. So I think you need to open things up. And once we're able to, you know, properly get everybody in and accept fiat or Bitcoin or whatever, you know, accepting all these payment forms in one place, I'm really bullish on the opportunity for creators. That's musicians, that's film producers, that's TikTok stars. I think the creators are going to be able to create different types of projects. And actually, for the first time ever, we're in this era where music is commoditized, where I've always viewed it, you know, music starting off in the mixtape scene and getting known as a mixtape DJ. Like, for us, while we were, you know, made a little bit of money from that, the music was always the marketing tool. And it's kind of the same for most artists. I mean, they're getting such minimal, you know, royalties from a stream. And that's not, you know, everybody likes to blame the platforms. It's nothing of the platforms. It's just, you know, like, music is a commodity in that way. But this, for the first time, allows creators to truly monetize their audience directly. And conversely, allows, what's more exciting is it allows consumers to invest in their favorite artists. And I'll give you an example. Like, I'm known and kind of get known in the music industry as being the first to play everybody from, you know, Lady Gaga, Kendrick Lamar, Post Malone, etc. And what was great that I got them first, there was no way for me to invest into them. They were already signed to labels or had management, and that's not what I did. Now imagine if there was a way for there, in essence, to be a, let's just call it a rookie card, because that's an easy comparison for Kendrick Lamar. And I was able to buy that at that time, the same way that I could have bought a Luka Doncic rookie a couple years ago, right? And watching that value grow as they do, I think the fans, you know, can participate and gain value. And of course, because of smart contracts and the different technology, the artists will always get paid over time. So it's not just a one-time sale. As they evolve and expand, they want their collectible, or say their rookie card in this scenario, to go higher, because they're taking, say, 10% off of every transaction from those things, and truly making money in a new way, and also opening up these creative opportunities while allowing fans to, in essence, invest in them. And that's what's so intriguing to me.
You know, one analogy I've always used is, you know, pick your favorite band, and let's pick one that, like, you know, just launched an NFT this year, like Kings of Leon. If you were one of the people who went to Kings of Leon's first show at some, like, dive bar in the middle of nowhere, and they gave you an NFT from that show, how much would that NFT be worth now? And especially that they could give you stuff along the way as they grow and prosper, right? So I've always kind of looked at it as, like, tokenization of fandom as being the term, or even like the idea that can do that. So like you're saying, it's like, yes, like you have an underground artist that you love, you can buy their rookie card, which will finally validate the line that everybody always says was, I knew these guys before they were big. Everybody wants to say that in music, right? And it's like, what you're talking about is actually quantifying that in a real NFT way, or at least in a meta way. Right.
100%. And that's what's so intriguing. And I don't think we've seen anybody do that. And I don't think it's going to be the same thing. I think it's going to be different for the fields. Like, It doesn't work as a Top Shot moment, right? Like, nobody wants to see 3 seconds of somebody strumming a guitar or on a mic. Like, it's not the same thing. The same way that, you know, like, I think it's going to be a different type of format. I don't think it's going to be a card. I think there's going to be a unique way that nobody's discovered yet. And that's what's so intriguing. We're really in this era of creators, and I think it's going to evolve. Like, music isn't, unlike NBA, NFL, MLB, which are licensed and have unions and you can go get a deal and put them all in there. Music isn't the same way. So I think you're going to see it much more segmented and fragmented, but I think you're going to see a lot of cool opportunities and a lot of things that also don't pan out, but there's never been a better time to be a creator right now than right now.
Absolutely. Okay. Now it's time, part of the show, which I'm sure you know it's coming. It's called Would You Rather? And you got to choose one of the two options I'm going to read to you. There's three different questions. DJ Ski, are you ready for Would You Rather?
I'm ready. Let's go. Okay.
Very Top Shot related one to start. Would you rather the Anthony Edwards number one legendary and courtside tickets to the game once that's safe again, or Kevin Garnett run it back from his MVP season?
Oh man, that's a tough one. Can I choose both, right?
How do I get both? That's one, man.
Tough.
And the run it back
Anthony
doesn't
Edwards
exist yet.
Rookie? You know, I'll probably do the Anthony Edwards rookie, because then it'll give me an excuse to watch, although Garnett is, you know, I have all his memorabilia sitting around me. So. Oh my God. It's a tough one, but I'll say, especially because it comes with the physical. We've been talking about physical, real world things too. So because it comes with the game, I want to experience
there
it too.
Go.
So
yeah.
Let's do that. And if it's a rookie, if it was a Garnett rookie, it might be a different story.
Okay. This one, this is literally just picking up from what you said. Again, I don't know much about the traditional card market. So here we go. A Jordan PSA 10 or Minnesota makes the playoffs.
Oh, you are killing me with these, right? Damn, man. I mean, it's like turning down $500,000. Which Minnesota team? The Timberwolves?
Oh, the Timberwolves. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I'm not talking like Vikings.
I mean, any of them, all of them. Like, we want them all to make it. Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's tough.
I mean, obviously, it's not going to happen this year. There's no way, you know, I think they're out of contention at this point.
Yeah, well, it's not going to happen this year. So let's, I mean, look, we got it. Like, it's tough to turn down. Nobody's going to turn down $500,000. There we go.
Wow. Smart. Okay. Okay.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I would go with my heart, but for that, it's too tough.
Okay. This next one might be even harder.
If it was win the finals, it would be a different question though.
Oh, well, yeah,
but
of
just
course.
Make the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Make the playoffs now.
Okay. You're an entrepreneur right now. Would you rather start a card grading company that you know will be as big as PSA, or start a company like Dapper Labs?
I think I'd go towards the technology portion. I think that while I love the grading technology and what PSA has done, and they built obviously a billion-dollar business on it, I think the upside on NFTs is significantly more long-term.
That was an easy one then for you.
Yeah.
Okay. Before we sign off, DJ Ski, we didn't get a chance to plug your project either, Project 70. Tell us about it and tell us where people could find you.
Yeah, I'm excited. So Tops has this thing called Project 70 where they got a handful of artists to, in essence, remix baseball cards and some of these iconic players since its top 70th anniversary. So for mine, all mine are themed with music. We already touched on the Babe Ruth Jay-Z for card one. Card two was Satchel Paige from the Negro Leagues mixed with Illmatic Nas. Card three actually drops this Thursday. It's available for 70 hours only. And what's cool, the cards are $19.99, so they're very affordable and reasonable. And if you get a few, they actually come down in price. But there's chase cards in there. There's 70 foil cards, and there's a special one-of-one gold frame. So if you get those, hit me up because I'll probably buy it from you. But I'm really excited because for this week, I get to take it home and do something, you know, I guess I'll give it away on the show. It's Minnesota related. So it's going to be an exciting drop, and the musical pairing is really, really cool. And I think timely for what's happening right now.
Very cool. And where can people find you and the project?
Yeah. So that'll be available for 70 hours starting this Thursday and running, I guess, and through Sunday on tops.com. And then of course you can just find me, djski.com. We do our own card drops where I'll do autographed versions of those, as well as companion releases and cool things like this NFT. So go sign up right there. And we're always doing a ton of different giveaways. So go sign up on djski.com and you'll be rewarded. Trust me. And also join my Discord. We have a great Discord that's pretty active that focuses really on cards. We started it around Project 70 and have expanded into kind of the whole card universe and now NFTs. So
very cool.
I'll see you in there.
You're building that bridge between the card market and NFTs, man. You're making it happen.
I love it. I love both. I mean, it's exciting for me. I think we're just in this great, great time. And I'm so lucky and fortunate to be able to, you know, live my dream and take the two things that, you know, that I'm most passionate about, which is music and sports, and put them together. And conversely, be here at this perfect timing when this world is exploding.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'm excited too, man. It's great. It's great to chat with you, man. It's great to hear your stoke about this, and best of luck with the projects.
Thank you so much. Keep crushing it, man. I can't wait to keep listening to the show.
And that is going to do it for today's episode, folks. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to give DJ Ski a big follow, as well as follow us, The First Mint, on Twitter. Otherwise, we will see you Wednesday on The First Mint.